There are fewer than 30 men in the world qualified to drive Formula One. A mere half dozen, perhaps, to win. At this moment, I'm inclined to think you're not one of them.
No, you want to.
Keep up the good work, Stephen, and there you have it. There you go.
Hello, this is Desiree for F1Weekly.com. I'm your in-depth correspondent.
Let's go with the qualifying, Steve.
Welcome to F1Weekly.com. My name is Clark Rogers. I'm the host of the program. I'll be joined by Nasser Hamid, my co-host. This is podcast number 609, November 22nd, 2012. Nasser?
Gobble, gobble. This edition of F1 Weekly Podcast is brought to you by Safeway's 2-Hour Turkey. F1 back in the USA.
On today's program, if Fernando loses, expect some major head rolling and reshuffling at Ferrari. New alternators for Vettel and Weber in Brazil. And who will not be on the grid next year? Pretty easy to guess. And special interview with the king and this wonderful person, Charles Leclerc. Nasser, welcome to the studio. How are you?
Very good, sir. Thank you. Welcome back to California.
Thank you very much, sir. The Spurs were burning, the Cowboys were chafing, and the Chaps were hurting my thighs.
Well, first of all, most important, you know, would be among the F1 Weekly family members, who did you get to meet?
Well, it was the usual members. Gabriel, BMW 85, his father, a couple of chicks here and there, Bess Gulliver. It was good, but, you know, there were more F1 Weekly folk at the race, but a lot of them just don't want to associate with the host.
That's a first.
No, it's common knowledge.
Wow.
They know that I could be a bad influence.
Whoa.
On La Familia.
Did you show up in Texas with a peace sign?
No, I did show up with a peace sign. But look at us. I mean, today's Thanksgiving.
Next time it's a pistol, okay?
Thank you, sir. But today's Thanksgiving, and what are we doing?
We're working.
Exactly. Because we are dedicated to the people.
Si, senor. But how was your trip, sir?
The trip was outstanding. I highly recommend it. Austin was wonderful, as I said in the previous podcast that we did via Skype, and I apologize for the audio quality. But still, it was a great race, lots of color, lots of fans. The turnout was stupendous. There were a few hiccups here and there in terms of lines, waiting to buy shirts and stuff like that. But in the end, it was a great event, great barbecue, great food, great Lone Star beer, great PBR, great racing, and I think everybody should go. I'm going next year for sure because it was really a wonderful, wonderful setting for a race. Downtown was beautiful. The hotel was close to downtown. And it was a 20-minute drive to the track.
How was the transportation to the track? Was it a big traffic?
No traffic. Very well managed. Lots of shuttles for people who took shuttles. Of course, I drove in the F1 Weekly limo. But nevertheless, it was outstanding.
That's good.
Yeah. And did you enjoy the race?
Very, very much so. I was in Vegas for the Scusa National, so I had a great time there. But one of the car team owners was kind enough to introduce me to somebody, and they had a tent and a TV in that area. So I watched the race there. Did not have much of the audio because there were some people doing their own thing. But I really enjoyed the race, and the track looks fantastic.
The track did look fantastic, I have to admit. There was apparently some, well, apparently when Bernie first got there, there were lots of stars. If you looked at all the colors
that
were painted, and apparently there were stars painted on those colors, as in the stars and stripes, and Bernie told them to remove them.
Really?
And I didn't know about that, so when I saw, when I went to the track, and I looked closely at the beautiful painting on the edges of the track, the red, the white, the orange. You could see witness marks of where the stars were. And I thought they did that on purpose for subtlety.
Well,
it actually looked great.
It is very Texas-esque, you know, Texas Lone Star State. So I was kind of, actually I did not notice during the race, but I read in Auto Sport, the stripes were there, but where did the stars go? So I'm like, what happened there? But, you know, if Bernie says something, you know, you have to say, yes, sir.
Yeah, so you couldn't see the stars from television, but if you were sitting in the bleachers in front of the Yeses, for instance, and you looked at the painting, you could see the subtle hints of the stars, which I thought looked fantastic. So it was a beautiful thing. I really enjoyed this race, and unfortunately, I have not watched it on television, and when you're at the racetrack, you only get a certain perspective, and I have no notes. So there's not, you know, this is not going to be a big race coverage podcast. We're just going to talk about the end of the season, how great Austin is, how great Fernando is, because really that start was his race. Fernando had a very uneventful race. Lewis Hamilton, I mean, by lap five, if you didn't know that Lewis Hamilton was going to pass Sebastian Vettel, you were on another planet because the McLaren was fast. Lewis Hamilton was comfortable. He loves America. And I almost lost the microphone right there on the podcast, Nasser. Just from the excitement, the microphone started jumping around. But still, it was I really enjoyed this race. I was glad Lewis Hamilton won this race because he loves America. Now, did you hear that Schumacher bought a 500-acre ranch?
Yeah, they mentioned...
While in Texas.
On the TV TV broadcast, which I have taped. If you would like to watch, you're welcome.
Oh,
for Nasser. For post-race and post-podcast
such
notes.
Hospitality. I may get teary-eyed.
At least I can do for you, sir.
I understand. But no, it was a wonderful race, and I do intend to watch it again on television, but I just haven't had a chance, being that it's the holidays here in the States, and everybody takes those holidays very, very seriously.
Yeah, and you know, nice to know after all these years, Mr. Tilke is improving with each new track. Drivers love the Bud International Circuit in India. Some were even comparing it to Spa, and he has now done a good Texas-sized good job on the Circuit of Americas. And I'm really happy to see the U.S. Having a Formula One race, and hopefully this will lead to another race in a couple of years. And there are already rumor mill going on that there will be a race. Bernie's trying to get a race in L.A. Lewis Hamilton spends a lot of time there, thanks to
Pussycat. That's his second home.
Yeah, so maybe he can work something out. But, you know, good to see Lewis Hamilton win the Welcome Back race in America, because he was the winner of the last race in Indy 2007. And somebody was driving and racing his car toward the McLaren pit. I don't know what was going on there.
It was excitement, Nasser.
Excitement of running second to a rookie and teammate? I don't think so.
Who's winning the world championship, Nasser?
Sebastian Vettel.
Who's second?
Second is the first loser.
No, he's hasn't lost. We got one more race to go, my friend.
Actually, you know, I'm going to tell you something. This is Nando's best opportunity, because one alternator, it's over for Sebastian.
Not only that, but if we get rain, we could have some interesting racing this weekend.
No, rain, Sebastian. We'll talk about that a little bit later, but okay. In the rain, Bastian is very good, and so is Nando. But
The alternator
is the key to the championship.
So do you think Fernando called Magneti Marelli?
You know, I...
And you know, we don't have the name of the boss over at Magneti Marelli.
I think it's Luca Montezemolo. Fiat owns a lot of stuff. Maybe they have some stakeholding in there.
I don't know what's going on, but something is fishy.
But you know, all the teams are supplied with the McLaren ECU. So I don't think McLaren is going to do something remote control Gizmachi on Bastian's car. But this is going to be...
It's going to be exciting.
Humdinger of a race. And they're saying it might rain there.
It could very well rain. This is going to be exciting. And I predict Fernando will take the championship.
That's very possible.
The numbers are stacked against Red Bull. They got the Constructors' Championship here in the United States. Third consecutive Constructors' Championship. Fantastic feat. But three Drivers' Championships in a row, those are numbers that are really hard to accomplish in Formula One. And Fernando knows that and is giggling.
Yeah, he should know that.
Exactly.
Yeah. And his only savior really is the Lord at Magneti Marelli. Okay, I mean, if there is no problem, rain or shine, or Brazilian thunderstorm or samba, No Kablamo, Sebastian Vettel is probably winning the race or coming second, and then it's all, you know, Das Vedania for Nando. But it's not over till it's over.
Exactly. The fat lady hasn't even arrived in
and
South
we have Island. Not even talked about Romain Grosjean and Pastor Maldonado.
No, because
they may decide this championship.
They could, but still. And of course, we know.
Do you remember, I think it was the final, I know it was the final race for Jaguar in Sao Paulo some years ago, in Jaguar as a team. And I believe Mark Webber was one of the drivers. And what happened at the start, if you recall, the two Jaguars took each other out. And this last night I was thinking, running through different scenarios as a racing fan, and I thought, wouldn't it be a real pisser if Mark Webber or Sebastian Vettel, you know, trying to pass each other on the opening lap, you know, they just have a little left tap, and next thing you know, one of the cars is spinning, the one that has number one on it.
And that left tap is way overdue.
Yeah, that's if there is one thing against going against Sebastian, it's the karma. Because, you know, he hasn't had an alternator or he has not visited the DNF chapel. So let's see what happens. Will we see you next week if Sebastian does win the championship 3 years in a row?
Nope.
So we're going to take
I will go into seclusion.
Okay.
At the monastery over here on the top of the hill.
Yeah. Yeah, the Ted Kaczynski cabin is available in Montana.
Thank you very much.
Yeah, for quiet living for a few weeks.
Thank you, sir. Please, continue.
Well, what can I
know you have some great quotes here, Nass.
Okay, well, Lewis Hamilton, I think, you know, this guy with all his issues and excess baggage, he is really like Kimi Raikkonen, Juan Pablo Montoya. Like him or not, incredible, pure, natural racing talent. And this is just a pipe dream on my part. But I sure would like to see him in the next few years as teammate to Sebastian Vettel. So we want to find out how good these two whippersnappers are.
These people have good management, and good management knows that those things should not happen.
Well, you know, sometimes drivers have good management, but they cut behind the back deals.
You mean and talk to Ron Dennis?
Yes, on the podium. But you are improving the car all the time, and then pay the price.
Slash and burn.
Yes, exactly. Bastian, you know, this guy makes me laugh, you know. I thought he would find an armadillo or a coyote in Texas, but he again ran into what he called cucumber on the road. Looks like he won't be getting a Christmas card from Chennai in December, and I feel sorry for your favorite, Nahrain Karthikeyan. Poor guy is on board a sinking ship, and Sebastian is on his case again. You have any thoughts on that, sir?
Well, to be honest with you, I think, Sebastian, I mean, all the backmarkers, and we talked about backmarkers being an issue at this Grand Prix at the beginning of the race. We knew this was going to happen. Listen, let's face it. Hamilton was faster than you, Sebastian. Suck it up.
Very true. And the great ones have a hard time sucking it up.
That's
and
very true.
Yeah, and I'm sure you've noticed that. And, you know, rain is on the radar for Sunday in Sao Paulo. And we all know how good he is in the rain, as Lewis found out on this track in 2008. And Kovalainen also got a taste of Vettel's wet honey at Monza during the same season.
Let's talk about Kovalainen just a second.
Sure.
I mean, Kobe. Unbelievable. I mean, I've been talking for weeks about Caterham. They've got the Renault package, which has done pretty good for Williams, Red Bull, and Lotus F1. And these guys are literally going backwards. I mean, Marussia outqualified Caterham. We're talking to Cosworth here, Nass. 1990s technology, practically. So I don't know what's going on over there. I know Tony Fernandez has moved on to other things within the group. But still, Caterham is a disaster.
Well, you know, I don't know much about technical stuff, but all I will say is, in some quarters, Mr. Mike Gascoigne is held in very high esteem. Flavio Briatore's comment about him was, we started winning after he left. And I know he had a very high-profile career at Toyota, and at one time they did do very well under his guidance. But, you know, like I said, I don't know much about technical stuff, but I have never heard, oh, Mike Gascoigne came here and within 2 years team was winning. It's not like Adrian Newey situation or many other, you know, engineers and designers who have come through the system. So I don't know. This Formula One is not an easy nut to crack. But like you said, they are going in reverse. And if they are going to take two paid drivers, then it's all over as far as I'm concerned.
Yes, I agree.
Okay, your man, Nando, he reminds me of the old Prudential Securities brokerage from advertising slogan, rock solid, always there. Only thing standing between him and a third champion. I'm telling you again, it's the Magnetti-Morelli meltdown. And if that happens, he can thank his old amigo, Lewis Hamilton, for the opportunity. And even Lewis Hamilton is quoted in this week's Auto Week saying that Fernando owes me one.
That's true. But on the other hand, you know what? If Fernando loses this championship, he still has a lot to be proud of. Because remember when this Ferrari came out at the beginning of this 2012 season? It was a dog, and it's still a dog. And the guy is only 13 points away from the championship. I mean, it's pretty impressive what Fernando's done with this Ferrari.
It's way beyond pretty impressive. I mean, you look at it this way. The races Sebastian Vettel has won. He has won in a car that should be winning a lot of races. But then he's had some issues also. Nando has won in a car that has no business being on a podium, let alone winning races. I mean, it was a Malaysia race was the first win, right? It was unbelievable. And that his home race in Valencia, it's... This is way beyond incredible. So he's done a tremendous job. And, I mean, it will be very deserving for him or even for Sebastian Vettel. Keep in mind, he was nowhere to be seen first half of the season, and he was many points behind. But it's going to be a great season. I would like to see both of them finish. I don't want this thing to be decided by Magnetti Morelli.
That's true.
You know, if Sebastian Vettel runs into somebody... Maybe Naren Karthikeyan again and spins out and then has to come back from the back and Nando wins the race.
Naren might not be very happy. See, Sebastian should watch his words and wait for the season to be over, because the cucumber sometimes, you know how the cucumber can roll off the cutting board?
And yes, exactly. And karma is an Indian word, so or maybe a Sanskrit word, but it's the same thing. He better watch out.
Yep, because I can see all of a sudden Naren going, woo! Oh, God, I'm starting to like Naren.
Massa, oh boy, what an obedient employee. No wonder he got re-signed. Martin Whitmarsh has come out and said, and I want to get your thoughts on this, he said that it was these shenanigans that McLaren would not do in 2007 that led a driver to bail out despite a three-year contract, and he bailed out after 1 year. The Ferrari antics to get Nando on the better side.
You can't call that antics. Those are strategic, period.
At the cost of the other driver?
He is nowhere near the championship. We're talking Fernando Alonso, el hombre más macho de España here. Felipe Massa. Who is Felipe Massa? Let me ask you this. How many Felipe Massa shirts do you think they sold last weekend?
Quite a few, because there's a big Brazilian South American contingent that goes to these races.
I hate to say it, but Sergio Perez won that contest. Sergio Perez sold a lot of t-shirts last weekend. Massa, one or two.
No, the only Naren Karthikeyan t-shirt sold was brought by you.
Exactly, because that was another issue. There were no HRT items to be bought. They gave you a magic marker and a white t-shirt.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Wow.
I know.
And, you know, talking of Sergio Perez, Jenson Button will be the top dog at McLaren next year. And time will tell how much of an edge he will have over new teammate, the aforementioned Senor Perez, especially in the second half of the season. I will be surprised if Perez can do to Button what he did to Kobayashi. But Perez has already surprised me once, so and I hope he surprises me once again.
Well, you know, what's really interesting about Perez is it's really an unknown. But if Perez, because sometimes, you know, sometimes a great driver, if he's uncomfortable with the car because the car is really designed for another driver, there's going to be some issues. But if he falls into this McLaren and is comfortable, then we may have a Button rattle.
Yeah, and you know, the way I try to put two and two together in my own, you know, I don't have a Chinese abacus, but I have my own homie way of thinking, is that Jenson Button did not play second fiddle to Lewis Hamilton. I mean, the guy won two races at McLaren before Lewis got one. So he was pretty much a match for Lewis Hamilton, you know, as good as him, if not better or faster. So for Perez to do the same thing to Button, it would mean Perez is as good and quick as Lewis. and that my system is not buying right now. But I will believe it when I see it. And he's proven me wrong once, and I hope he does again for his sake. And, you know, we'll enjoy if that happens. But it should be a good season. But it's one of those things, if he just goes always second best to Jensen like Clay Regards when he went against Niki Lauda, or Eddie Irvine against Schumacher, or anybody for that matter against Schumacher as a teammate, then it will be over for Perez.
Yeah, he'll be talking to Heike Kovalainen.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, yeah. Misery loves company. Okay, Raikkonen was as usual reliable in the points ahead of teammate Grosjean. And I just wonder, again, one of those things, you know, pipe dreams, how he would have gone if Dr. Marco had put him in a Red Bull chassis.
It would have been awesome. But the talk would have been a little different.
Oh, yeah. You know, talk would be the same.
I know, but compared to Sebastian Vettel, you know, yee-haw, he's so pumped up. And, you know, with Kimi Raikkonen, it'd be pretty bland.
Yeah, and talking of, you know, Perez against Button in the second half, here is the case of Mr. Nico Hülkenberg. He came out of Di Resta's shadow many races ago and is looking good for a long and strong F1 career. Next year, we will see him at Sauber. Interesting. It was I don't know if everybody went one stop, looked like it was a one stop race. Did that surprise you?
No, because they brought the hard compound to this race. And I figured once the track rubbered in, that one stop was very, very possible.
And, you know, it was good to see both, first of all, good to see both Williams in the points. And as usual, Maldonado muscling his way past teammate Bruno Senna to finish ninth. Man, had he taken out both cars? You know,
I know, but it would have been part of his, you know, je ne sais quoi.
Yeah. So, anything else that stood out from your trip to Texas, sir?
Oh, just, you know, the perfect weather. You couldn't beat it. The people were charming, and especially the employees at the track. I mean, unbelievable. Almost too nice. It was almost annoying.
Really?
Yeah. But very charming.
Did they bring you free steak after free steak?
Correct. Correct. Wow. Yeah. It was a meat lover's paradise.
Woo.
And that one barbecue pit that was a semi-truck, the whole back was a barbecue.
Mm-hmm.
That was crazy stuff. I mean, if you wanted pure pork, this is the race to go.
Cool. Yeah, no, it's interesting. And, you know, obviously everybody is happy, looks like, from Bernie to the track official. So it should be, and I'm very happy that there was a strong crowd of over like 120,000 people.
Yeah.
And
I think the important thing is, compared to the bad news we just got a couple of days ago about Korea losing another $35 million, obviously. And you know what? I like the intimacy of this track because, like in China, Shanghai, or Korea, some of these tracks now are these huge behemoths. And they didn't do this to this track. They kept it nice and almost European kind of coziness, which I thought was very, very good and very important.
So you felt at home even in Texas?
Absolutely.
Nice to hear that. Now, looking ahead to Interlagos, your thoughts and comments on what may happen?
Oh, it's going to be fantastic, and I think Fernando's going to pull it. I think Fernando deserves it. The gods are going to think about this. Sebastian is too young to have three championships in a row. It's better to have Fernando and Machismo. And hopefully Flavio will go bravo, bravo, bravo. And it'll be done.
It'll be nice to see Flavio in a Mankini at Ipanema.
Absolutely.
The old man from Ipanema. That could be a new one. Okay, you know, Interlagos is where Sebastian almost ruined Hamilton's one and only championship so far. And as you mentioned, Red Bull has been the winning car in the last three races in Sao Paulo. The man himself is very confident, saying after the Texas Grand Prix, and I quote, "We've been very quick in Brazil in the last couple of years, so plenty to look forward to. We are in the best possible position," end of quote. And I say plenty to look forward to indeed, including rain. And Nando's only savior will be a technical glitch on the numero uno Red Bull. You know, Sebastian has already lost 33 points in this season to alternator issues. And who knows, Grosjean or Maldonado could come back to form and make Nando's day. What are you expecting if it rains?
I think if it rains, qualifying is going to be an issue. Tires are going to be an issue.
No, I'm talking about rain in the race, where it matters.
Well, I think obviously what's fascinating is all three top drivers are great in the rain. Even Kimi Raikkonen's good in the rain unless there's a red flag. Then he starts getting sleepy.
And looking for ice cream, right?
Correct.
But, you know, I'll tell you something about... there have been quite a few races since Kimi has been racing, but I have never seen him do something in the rain like a Sebastian Vettel did at Monza, or a Michael Schumacher, or even a Lou Hamm. You know, do you remember that race?
No.
He won in Britain over Kovalainen.
Yes.
So, you know, he is still very good, but I've never seen him. That's kind of a surprise me, but normally top-line drivers, and he's certainly one of them, also show very well in the rain. But I won't be surprised if it's like a wet, dry situation. I would expect Jensen Button to do very well. And Nico Hülkenberg, you know, he took his first pole on a slippery track here at Interlagos with Williams. And final analysis for the race in Brazil. Vettel is the favorite both on paper and track, but his hopes can be shredded by an alternator issue.
And they're both running brand new rev alternators this weekend, untested. We don't know what can happen.
Yes, and Ferrari and their Spanish Matador, your hero, need a lot of luck on Sunday. And who knows, Nando has seen this movie before at the same theater in 2007 when defeat was snatched from the jaws of victory by his team. One can only hope this time the clouds over Sao Paulo have a silver lining for him. Not a silver car. That was doom-de-doom. Now, in what scenario do you think Nando is going to win this, seriously, apart from a DNF by Sebastian?
I think Fernando not only could win this, but listen, I think the odds and now the numbers are in Fernando's favor. That's my point of view. Red Bull winning here three times in a row, you can't keep those statistics up.
But do you think it's going to, let's say it does not rain, and let's say it's a dry qualifying. Do you think he's going to qualify ahead of Sebastian Vettel? Not normal course of business.
No, he's not. But okay. I know Sebastian Vettel could get a puncture in the middle of the race. Things could happen.
Yeah, yeah.
Pastor Maldonado, Romain Grosjean, Nahrain, Karthikeyan.
Cucumber.
So, no, lots of things can happen. This is a two-stop race. And it's a fast lap.
Yes.
So, it's going to be exciting. Trust me, Nass. I have the ball. The crystal ball.
The rain in Sao Paulo and Lewis Hamilton passing Timo Glock, that's etched in my memory and in the memory of many, many people.
Those sad faces?
Yeah, remember the both camps celebrating?
God.
That was unbelievable.
Too much emotion for me.
You know,
right now.
Something like this could happen, you know? I mean,
it could happen again, yes.
It could be like...
Yeah. Well, Fernando's divorced, so it could be Papito
Fernando.
Well,
he's got a hot-looking... No, not a chiquita, the Vushka.
La mujer.
Yeah. So, well, no, I remember watching that race in 2008 when Lewis came into the pits, right? I think he came before Massa. I said, it's going to be over for Lewis now. And then when I saw Massa, I said, no way on earth, he's going to do anything. You know, but, you know, conditions were changing. And same thing can happen. So, I mean, you know, we've seen this in races before, where a guy is dominating the race, crosses the pit lane, you know, the pit entrance, and soon there is some rain, and the guy who's running second or third catches a lucky break, and boy, whew, this is going to be a good race, hopefully. And also, you know, this was race number 100 for Sebastian. His first was also on U.S. soil in 2007 when he was... you ran into him, if I recall...
2007, yes.
Yeah.
Fine young man. I should dig that tape up.
Yeah, he says, F1 Weekly? Oh, yeah, I listen to it every
Quality first.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, Circuit of the Americas. Did you get to walk around the track and see the whole...
great stuff.
Nice.
Just wonderful.
You went to the slow portions of the track also?
Yeah, everything.
Yeah. Well, you know, as with all new F1 tracks in this day and age and many years to come, it is from the mind of Hermann, the German Tilke. It has been praised very highly by the drivers, and this week's Autosport magazine, thank you, Mr. Brazier, rates the Austin track as the best Tilke designed circuit, followed by Sepang, Istanbul Park, and Booth Circuit in India, and that's saying quite a lot. The track reminds me of the old Österreichring track in Austria, especially the uphill run. and to the first corner, and parts of it are like Istanbul and Interlagos. So I really like this track. And this is all very good news for Formula One in America. The race crowd was well over 100,000. Bob Warsha mentioned on the Speed podcast that on Friday it was over 60,000. So let's hope we see Austin City within F1 limits for a long time to come. And you've already booked your motel 5.5, I understand?
Correct.
Cool. Count me in for next season for sure.
Yowza boss.
Okay. Anything else sir, about Texas, or shall we get a visa and move to some other parts of the world?
Well, no. It's a great track, great crowd. The crowd management was well done. They did a fantastic job. They just need to cut the lines so you could spend your money. There were too many lines where you couldn't spend your money, which we want them to make money. So,
do you know how much the general admission was?
General admission, I do not know. I think it was like $60. And everybody claimed general admission was fantastic.
Yeah, that you can watch the race, because there are tracks you cannot watch, as to borrow a phrase from David Hobbs, diddly squad.
Yeah.
But no, you can do that at Barcelona.
This is a perfect track for general admission.
Really? That's good.
Yep.
Okay, let's look at some money matters. The Middle East investment firm Abar Investment has sold its 40% stake back to Daimler-Benz. So the UK-based team is now 100% owned by Daimler-Benz. The friendly folks from Stuttgart also own Freightliner Truck Company in the U.S., and at one time they also owned Chrysler and Dutch aircraft maker Fokker, but both resulted in serious crash and burn. So serious that Chrysler is now owned by Fiat. What is this world coming to? Okay, Korean Grand Prix in deep kimchi, you mentioned already. After suffering a $50 million loss in the first year, which was 2010, the organizers have revealed losses of just over $35 million for the 2012 race. I think it is only a matter of time before this event is axed for a place in Mexico or Russia or Argentina or Kazakhstan, where they have a...
Bulgaria is what I'm waiting for.
Oh, yeah. And, of course, Greece, they have their own melting aspirations also, which is kind of a surprise. Coca-Cola has confirmed they will enter F1 with Lotus Team and sponsorship from Burn, a Swedish energy drink which is marketed by the Atlanta-based beverage behemoth. Good to see new names coming to F1. Now we need Pepsi to be seen on the side parts of Caterham with Mountain Dew or Frito-Lay branding.
I want to see 7-Up back.
Yeah, 7-Up on Jordan looked beautiful. Yeah, we should have a Cola Wars in car racing, 7-Up, Bubble Up. Many, many years ago.
Fanta.
Yeah. Many, many years ago in the 70s, I think it was, or early 80s, one of the IndyCar teams was sponsored by Pepsi, and the car was called Pepsi Challenger. It was a beautiful paint scheme. And actually, the marketing guy who did that program later went on to become the boss man at Apple Computer. So it will be good to see some new money coming into Formula One. Driver's diary, Kovalainen, we mentioned about him. He seems to be on slippery slope at Caterham. He is managed by Ohio-based IMG, International Management Group. They might find a place for him next to their other superstar, Miss Danica Patrick. And talking of Miss Danica Patrick, she may soon be that. Have you seen this news?
Oh, big news. And yeah. It's great news or it's really sad news.
And what a way to publicize your personal affairs than on Facebook.
It's perfect.
Yeah, she posted on her Facebook that she and husband, Mr. Hospenthal, are going separate ways, but will still be friends.
Oh, God.
Yeah. I just hope this guy, gets half of her earnings. That'll be...
I just want the pictures.
Of the guy or Danica?
Of Danica, the naked pictures.
Well, they're
There's
all
always naked pictures that come out in a divorce, Nasser.
Oh, boy. You look very motivated for this divorce to be finalized.
It's going
to
be beautiful.
Okay, cool. So anything else before we go into Motorsports Mondial?
No, I think it's going to be great in Brazil. I'm looking forward to it. And it's Fernando, all the way. Físico will be watching from Maranello.
Físico has been very busy lately racing a Ferrari in sports car series.
Good for him.
And he has raced a few times here in the U.S. also.
Well, I heard there's an underground testing facility that nobody can see, and he's been very, very busy testing Fernando's new car for next year.
Yeah, but here's the problem. It's so dark there. That's why he cannot see on the side part what his manager wanted. This is a winning car. Ramadan, what a joke that was.
This is a beautiful thing. Anyway, Nas, this is a beautiful day.
Yes, it is, sir. except for the turkeys.
Yeah, happy Thanksgiving.
Yeah, same to you, sir. Shall we morph into, shall we gobble our way into the Motorsports Mondial?
Yes, can I spin?
Please do.
And now, as we spin the globe and go around the world with Motorsports Mondial and the king, the head Texan himself, Nasser Hamid.
Greetings and howdy, folks. Today we're going to start with Macau Grand Prix, and we have a new Portuguese man of war, Senhor Antonio Felix da Costa. This guy is on a hot roll.
Unbelievable.
Yeah, but you know, my only caution to him would be, dude, you're sponsored by Red Bull. Keep it calm, keep it slow, because if you keep carry on, they'll put you in Formula One very quickly.
Yep.
And then you may end up like your neighbor from Viva España, Jaime Alguersuari.
That's very true. But this young man is doing an outstanding job, even though so far Jean-Éric Vergne and Daniel Ricciardo have done a pretty good job this season. We've knocked them down a couple of times, but I think they'll be there next year.
But yeah, both have done a good job considering what they have. But, you know, Danny Boy has the edge so far. But then he also had a little bit more experience. But we'll see how it goes. Back to Macau. Interestingly, the very first Macau Grand Prix was also won by a Portuguese driver, Eddie Carvalho. Back then, Macau was a Portuguese colony. Fast forward to 2012, his compadre, Antonio Felix da Costa, dominated the weekend, not only winning both the qualifying and feature race, but also leading each and every lap of both races, which is very, very impressive on a very tight street circuit. He is the first driver for Carlin team to win this race since Sato San in 2001. Pole position for Colli race was grabbed by Alex Lynn of UK, a surprise pole winner there, past winner of Formula Renault in Solihull, England. He is first rookie since 2006 to start from pole. Back in 2006, it was Kamui Kobayashi-san who started from pole. So these names keep coming up, you know. In the main race, Swede Felix Rosenquist was second behind da Costa. Alex Lane was third, German Pascal Wehrlein fourth, and cousin Felipe Nasser from Brasilia completed the top five. Last year, Felipe was second. Carlos Sainz Jr. was seventh. Our friend Harry Tinknell was ninth. Felix Serrales from Puerto Rico was 20th. Gerhard Berger's nephew Lucas Auer was DNF, along with British F3 champion Jack Harvey and last year Macau winner Daniel Junkadea. Now, this is very impressive. Swiss driver Eduardo Mortara took his fourth successive victory in Macau by winning the GT Cup race in his Audi R8. He won the same event last year and prior to that was back-to-back winner of the F3 race. Machismo and very impressive. World Touring Cars, they were also in Macau. Ivan Muller was the winner in Race 1 and Race 2 was won by his Chevy teammate Alain Menu. Another Chevy driver, Rob Huff, was second and that was enough to give him the 2012 World Touring Car Championship title. Our congratulations to him. Chevy also won the manufacturer's title with 1,025 points over BMW with 650 points. Another championship decided, this time in the V8 Australian Tin Top Series. They were in Winton. Jamie Wincup is now four-time champion in the series. Very impressive, of course. He won the opening race of the weekend over his Holden teammate Craig Lowndes. Lowndes won the second race over Mark Winterbottom, and Wincup was third. Your favorite series now, sir?
Le NASCAR.
Roger Penske now has a championship driver in NASCAR Nation also, thanks to Brad Keselowski of Michigan. The Dodge driver took the title when championship rival Jimmy Johnson ran into his alternator issues and was seen crying in the DNF chapel. This is also the first championship for Dodge since 1975 when King Petty, Richard Petty that is, was champion. Penske is leaving Dodge for Ford next season, so good to see a partnership end on a high note. The season finale in Homestead, Florida was won by Jeff Gordon. And sir, as you know, I was not in Texas. I was in Vegas at the SCUSA.
Now, some people thought that you went to Vegas for the 82 Formula One race via a time machine.
I wish, man. That was a great race.
Yeah.
in the parking lot. This race was also in the parking lot, and that race was also in the parking lot of Caesar's Palace, but this was in the parking lot of Rio. But I had a great time there. My thanks to Mr. James Trumpur for his driving assistance and quality dining experience at the Peppermill in Vegas. Mighty fine omelette they have. Real human Texas-sized omelette they have there.
And they have nice waitresses.
Oh, absolutely. How did you know that, Mr.
Because
Rogers?
I'm a professional and a worldly kind of a man.
Or did you have friends who got divorced and they showed pictures of their wives?
Exactly.
I love those neon lights, by the way. Okay, I did some interviews with young stars of the future, the first of which is coming after the Motorsports Mondial with Charles Leclerc of Monaco. Also met Jos the Boss and interviewed his son Max Verstappen. Had a nice chat with 12-year-old Canadian karting talent Lance Stroll. He is in Ferrari driver development program already. And you know, out of nowhere, I saw a face and it looked very familiar. And I had an inkling it was somebody I know, so I verified. And yes, it was Mick Doohan, the great motorcycle racer from Australia. So we exchanged email addresses and we agreed to do a Skype moment in the near future. So I'll contact him next week and we'll see what his availability is. And also got a chance, so this was the main reason, my homie friend, his son was racing, Inam Ahmed. We had done an interview with him a few months ago, and in September, Dr. Mark Ferrant and I went and saw him race. So he's doing very well. He was also racing there. This was his first, basically, KF3 event, and was excited to be in America for the first time in terms of racing. So he's another whippersnapper that we'll be following, hopefully, as he climbs the ladder. Okay, now we come to Famous Last Words, sponsored in part by Charmin. And this famous line is from Carlos Sainz Jr. on stalling at the start in the Macau Grand Prix Formula 3 race. And I quote, "Shit happens, but it's a shame it didn't happen somewhere else." End of quote. Gracias, and thank you for listening.
Outstanding Motorsports Mondial. And let's go right into the Charles Leclerc interview. This young man is from Monaco?
Yes, Charles Leclerc is a very young man on a very fast track. He was the youngest KF3 world champion a year ago and has been doing very good since he started in karting. And it's quite a trick he used to get to his first go-kart event, as you will listen. And my thanks to Mr. Olivier Menu, who works for Nicolas Todd. He is in Europe and he arranged this interview because he did not come here. And my thanks to Charles Leclerc, a young, nice guy, good racer, and speaks very good English. So please enjoy this conversation and keep an eye on his career as he moves through the ranks. Thank you.
Okay, folks, we're in Vegas with Charles Leclerc from Monaco. Charles, welcome to F1 Weekly. How are you today, sir?
Very good, but very good because it's Las Vegas for sure. But then we had a bit of difficulties today. At the second heat and the third heat, I did fourth at the second one. And 28 or 27 at the last one because a driver pushed me out. Yesterday was a really good day because we did the pole and then won the heat. And we still go on tomorrow with a positive attempt because we were very fast and our pace in race is very good, so I think we can do well.
Is this your first trip to America?
Yeah, my first trip, yeah.
What is your impression so far?
I really do like the ambience, the everything. I really do like it. It's very, very different to Europe. But I really like it.
Have you had your first hot dog?
Yeah, I had it.
And how good was it?
Very good, very good.
Good. Okay, I have a question for you. You are a very you're a young guy, but you're very smart. I understand you were 5 years old and you told your dad, "I am sick," a trick I've also used. Tell us about that story, please.
I was 5 years old and we go one day to a... to the track of Jules Bianchi in Brignoles, and I tried it and I loved it, so I told my father to buy a cart, and then all the story went on that. We buy a cart, then do regional races, and it went pretty good, so then we decided to do the thing a bit more serious. Then we go in international. It was a bit hard at the start, but at the end it's good.
Now, when you got your first 2 days in the car, were you really quick, or was it just more for the fun of it?
The first 2 days in the car?
Yeah, when you first started doing karting on your own, was it more for fun, or were you really quick right from the start?
I think I was quite fast, but it was still for fun. It was just because I liked it. So, but then it becomes a bit more serious, and I still loved it the same way I did when at 5 years old. So that's the positive point. And then for sure it's a bit more serious.
Take your time.
For sure it's a bit more serious now.
Okay. Now, you've been racing, or at least practicing, with one of our friends, Jules Bianchi. We've known him for a few years. Tell us about your association with him, and how much did you learn from him?
Yeah, I drive with him, but not in the same category. We just have rental cars on his track and just drive with him. And yeah, that was more for fun than to learn something. But it was really cool, and yeah, he learned me lots of things too, which he tell me, and which helps me a lot. And I say thank you to him to do that.
Now, in 2005, you were in mini kart, 18 races, all from pole, and 16 wins. What happened in the two races you did not win?
Oh, I can't really remember everything, but I know that at the French Cup, I was second in the last lap, and in the last corner, a driver cut the track and pushed me out. Then the other race, I think I had a technical problem, or probably something like that. But yeah, it was really good, yeah. But of course, it was only in 2005, and in minicart, it's not the same level that now that I'm in international races now.
Okay, were you surprised that you were able to win almost all the races?
Yeah, surprised, but I didn't really realize, because it was really for fun at the start. I was very young. I was 7 years old probably, so it was really for fun at the start. Then it becomes serious, and I still loved it. I still love it.
2010, you became the youngest winner in Monaco Kart Cup, which is a very prestigious event. Tell us about this race, and who were some of your biggest competitors?
That was an amazing race, really an amazing race, because it started really good. There at the middle in the heats, we had a bit of problems and difficulties, but at the end, in pre-final, we started 30, I think. At the end of the pre-final, I finished 7th, which was quite good, because in the street it's difficult to overtake. And then from 7th, I did 1st. But yeah, it was an amazing day to win, especially on my own country, is even more special and amazing.
Last year you were KF3 world champion. How does it compare with your victory in Monaco Kart Cup?
Oh, of course, to be world champion is much better. The feeling is crazy, and I loved it. I hope to be a second time and other time world champion. But yeah, it was amazing. It was amazing.
Okay, like your friend Jules Bianchi, you are also part of the All Road Management. Tell us, please, how you hooked up with Nicola Todd.
Sorry?
You are with All Road Management, right? So how did you meet and hook up with Nicola Todd?
We take contact with All Road Management after the Monaco Kart Cup that I won. We went in Geneva, and we meet with Nicola Todd. Everything went very well, and now they are helping me a lot, and I say a big thanks to them, very big thanks, because if today I'm here in Las Vegas, and if I won the World Cup last year too, it's because of them and no one else, of course, of my family too.
Now, Nicola Todd has also started this ART Kart Grand Prix team. How challenging was it to work with a brand new manufacturer?
Yeah, he did a new brand of chassis, and I think it's really amazing what he did, because the first year of this chassis, we are here and very competitive. We did first at the European Championship, second at the European Championship, won the WSK, fifth and sixth at the World Cup. And second at the World Championship too. I think it's really amazing that what they did, and yeah, it was a challenge to be at the start of the year to develop everything and everything, but it went very well and it was quite easy because everyone like gave lots of work to the team and everything went well, so that's perfect. But yeah, we still have a bit to improve, but it's only the first year, so I'm sure next year they will be very good, very good.
Of all the young karting drivers you have raced all over Europe, America, wherever, apart from you, who do you think are also some very good kart drivers?
Sorry.
Who are some of the best kart drivers whom you have raced against, your competition, who are good drivers?
Oh, you know, in Europe, I think all the drivers are very good. Probably not loads are not very good, but then there's a little more which does the difference, and then there's I can't say one to be competitive, because if I say one, I will say 100, you know, so yeah, lots of drivers are very competitive.
Okay, cool. Talking of next year, I get the impression you look ready for Formula Renault. What's happening next year?
Now Formula Renault is a bit early because probably I look older, but I'm only 15, which is a bit early for me to go in Formula, so we will see. We didn't decide yet, but normally it's not Formula. Well, it's pretty sure that we don't do Formula. We will still do karting, but we are not sure about the category yet. Probably KZ1 or probably KF2, I don't know yet.
France has produced some very famous drivers. Have you ever met Alain Prost or Mr. Jean Alesi?
No, I didn't meet them. No, I didn't. But I'm from Monaco, which is not really like France. Yeah, it's really close, but yeah.
Okay, cool. Okay, finally, Formula One season is coming to an end. We have a race in the United States this weekend. Who would you like to see win, Nando or Sebastian?
I don't really know, but the one which I would like to be in Formula One the soonest as possible is Jules Bianchi, which is very talented. And I hope next year he will get the chance to go in it, because he definitely deserves it to go in it.
Okay, great. I appreciate your time. Now, finally, I want you to give a message to listeners. Say something to our listeners. Tell them about your website. A message in English and your language, Francais, please.
Oh, so I would like, first of all, to say a big thanks to World Management again, to all my sponsors, IHRA, Richard Mille, and the Program Store, and to Formula Medicine, who helps me, which does mental training and physical training, which helps me very, like, a lot. And then, yeah, I say my website too.
Yeah, please.
The website is www.charlesleclerc.com. And
how about the same message in Francais? Or whatever you want
okay.
to say.
Merci beaucoup à Allroad Management pour tout ce qu'ils ont fait depuis que je suis avec eux et tout ce qu'ils feront, j'espère. Et ensuite aussi à mes sponsors, à ETRA, Program Store et Richard Mille. Et ensuite à Formula Medicine qui m'aide mentalement et physiquement à me préparer pour les courses, qui m'aide énormément. Et voilà, merci beaucoup à tout le monde qui me supporte.
Merci beaucoup, monsieur.
Charles, thanks for joining F1Weekly.com. And now we're going to wrap it up with 50 words from the forum on the beautiful United States Grand Prix in Austin, Texas, Nasser, and I will begin.
As always, sir.
There we go. Neon Zapper says, nice to see four world champions on the podium. Hamilton, Vettel, Alonso, and Andretti. Massa was one step away.
Both from the podium and the championship.
Correct.
Okay. Leon Bray, a great race, great circuit, flawless Red Bull pit stop, no pussycat doll shorts, and plenty of overtaking without incidents. Tilke might have finally got one right. Only disappointing part was an alternator. Hope the hot dogs were good, and where can I get one of them? Their Pirelli hats, y'all.
Yay! Well done, Coda. Well done, Austin. Well done, USA. But Magneti Marelli, you got the wrong car.
Desiree, F1 Weekly. USA is back in the game, but Desiree needs to be there. Happy to see Lewis win consecutive US Grand Prix. Sebastian is a spoiled prat. Felipe bends over to show us again why he's number two. Hamilton, Vettel, and Alonso on podium for the first time together. Cowboy hats brought the Texas Sexy for the drivers.
Yeah, you know, we didn't talk about that, but I was surprised that was the first time that they were together.
That was kind of a surprise for me also.
Really? And then, you know, a lot of people complained about Mario Andretti and his questions. Apparently, he was only interested in one thing. How do you like Texas?
Yeah, a guy from Pennsylvania would be excited about Texas. But it's good to see these drivers come and interview. I know some people don't like it. Surprisingly, Mark Webber has come out and said he doesn't like this format.
Oh, really?
But, you know, he has an opinion on everything.
That's true.
Which is fine. I mean, there's nothing wrong with that.
That's true. Well, when you're number two, you're much more opinionated.
Really?
Yeah, I've noticed that, Nasser. You should have seen Massa's post-interview on the BBC.
What was he saying, talking about the team?
Well, we're going to play it on the show. I'm going to put that up, you know, somewhere around here.
Cool.
Anyway, Kei Sin, Red Bull get one championship, and if it wasn't for the efforts of Messrs. Hamilton and Alonso, could have wrapped up the other as well. Meanwhile, Magnani Morelli proved not the first time that the Italians do coffee better than electrics.
Chemex, a great circuit, a great race, and by the look of it, a great crowd. Long may it continue.
Devo says, great battles all the way down the field. And Lewis? He was first, you know. Not just in the race, but also picking up the girls.
Dr. Mark Farrington, Texas delivers sweepy skating ring to separate the men from the boys and push the driver's championship to the wire. A great track, gentlemen, that not even DRS could spoil.
And Miguel says, a beautiful sweeping circuit, notes of Suzuka and Interlagos, and hints of Kyalami shows that you do not need demented, ridiculous systems to overtake and becomes an instant classic. May it stay in the calendar. Lewis does hit his bit. The V moans and Alonso keeps a stiff upper lip in an all-around interesting race that left a pleasant fin de bouche.
Philip Pegler, Texas, a tale of two steps. Hamilton's inspiring drive reminds all of us of the definition of the phrase, never give up. Meanwhile, back at the ranch, Schumacher is sent down to the barn to continue shoveling what comes out of the back of a Red Bull. No, I'm not talking about the RB8.
Ooh. And, keep up the good work.
And Mr. Philip Pegler will be seen in California next month. And I look forward to seeing him, and hopefully we'll enjoy some mighty fine hot dogs and cheeseburgers.
There you go, Nas. Thanks, everyone at the forum, for contributing to the 50 words on the U.S. Grand Prix. I'll also go ahead and throw in a little Vettel interview with the Massa interview, just for good luck.
Well, Sebastian, you didn't put a foot wrong out there today. Red Bull won the Constructors' Championship, but the championship that you're really fighting for, your driver's one, goes on to Brazil. Just describe your emotions.
Well, I think very happy for the team, obviously. You know, hello to Milton Keynes, and thanks for, you know, a tough year so far. They've been pushing incredibly hard, and obviously they deserve to win the Constructors. I think we have been the best team this year. Obviously, Mark and myself were pushing throughout today. Obviously, a shame for Mark not to finish. I'm not quite sure what happened. I heard he had a problem potentially with the alternator, so we need to see. For us, I think it was a very good race. We did everything we could. Unfortunately, ran into traffic at the wrong time, and yeah.
Is that why you sounded frustrated on your team radio?
Well, frustrated. I mean, I wasn't, you know, calm as as the Pope, but obviously, you know, I was fighting for position, and
another strong race. It's been a strong weekend. It must have been disappointing to hear that you were taking a gearbox penalty. When was the first that you knew you had a problem with your gearbox?
Yeah, it was very frustrating. I mean, to give away 5 places like this to help the team and to help your teammate is not easy, definitely. I mean, it was very difficult, but I think, you know, maybe it's difficult to find other drivers which will do that, you know. So we need to be honest, and I'm very honest. I always be with all my life, you know, with the team, with everything. And I would say I'm very happy now. So even starting 11 and finishing 4th, it was the best race of the year. For me, it was like a victory.
But still, an outstanding race this weekend in Interlagos, Sao Paulo, Brazil. And it's simple. I predict Fernando Alonso. And you, Nasser?
Sebastian Vettel, if his car is running at the end.
Keep up the good work. Anyway, I want to thank everybody who listens to the program. Good night.
Thank you. Bye-bye.